Barbara and I subscribe to a number of magazines that lay piled up always on a table, but one that we really enjoy is Britain. Do any of you subscribe to it? We are, I have to admit, Anglophiles. We really are from the Yard One. Yes, we delighted in the pictures of Prince George at his third birthday. And we look at that like family, and isn't that silly? All of that. I can remember vividly the Tubbs family from Gunthorpe. Gunthorpe's a village outside of Nottingham. And Martin was the third generation of his family to have a silk plant, a silk factory, a weaving factory there in Nottingham. And when we visited with them and I preached in St. Andrew's Church, I loved that because you had to climb up top and you were way up here. Oh, you felt so good. Anyway, I can remember when he notified us that he'd been had a royal invitation to become a knight in the garter. I thought it was a burlesque show. I didn't know then what it was, but he became a knight of the garter. And that was so neat. He was going and to meet the queen and all that doodad stuff. And I thought, that royal invite, isn't that something? I was thinking along those lines, really, when I was looking at the sermon this morning. And then, despite all the stuff that's happened in the last several weeks, all the brutality around the world, which gets everybody in a funk, I thought, you know, this scripture is really appropriate because the royal invitation that Martin received from the Queen of England is not unlike the invitation that comes to us from Jesus Christ. What I was saying to Sarah, really about prayer. And this scripture, all of you know, because it has the Lord's Prayer in it. And if you look at the various translations, it's a mixed bag in terms of how it's translated. Remember, Protestants have added a little bit to the end, which makes it sound a little better. It's sort of like adding "under God" to the Pledge of Allegiance. The significance is immaterial. It really is. Because a lot of people don't go any further than that. Under God, they don't. It's true. And the same thing that when we conclude our Lord's Prayer, "For thine is." It's added metaphor. It is. But the royal invitation that comes to us is a reminder about praying, period. Praying all the time, not just when you want a new parking space and you ask God to give you one that's closer to the building. Or, as Gloria said this morning, we couldn't get out of the car because of the rain, and they were going to a restaurant, and God didn't stop the rain, so they just came home. It was still raining. Open your Bibles to Luke. I told you we're going to be going through Luke for a while, and this is going to be good. You'll have it all memorized, and you'll say, "Oh, I know so much about Luke. It's just remarkable." So, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 13 of the Gospel of Luke, you'll see in your Bibles Jesus teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Doesn't say where. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." John the Baptist. Okay? Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Notice this translation, please. And lead us not into temptation. Period. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. And he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I've nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door's already locked, my children are with me in bed, I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Pretty good lesson. But remember, by the time we're reading this throughout the Old Testament, throughout the entire Old Testament, and up to the time of Christ, people thought God was that out there, whoa, way beyond me. And you never talk to him out loud. You don't talk to God in a chummy sort of way, the way this Lord's Prayer comes across. Even though God is mentioned over 6,800 times in the Hebrew Scripture, it was thought his name was too sacred to fill the lips of mortals. Only on the Day of Atonement could the priest in the temple say that wonderful no-name name for God, Yahweh. The rest of the time, you don't say it at all. There was a tradition throughout the Old Testament of personal conversation with God, but evidently, the disciples had lost it, or they never had it in the first place because it wasn't practiced. It wasn't mentioned. It was not a theme that someone would carry over from the synagogue or the temple home and say, as a matter of factly, we're going to pray to God. When they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, I think this really was a royal invitation. It was like the queen saying, you're going to be a knight of the garter. You're going to be close to God for the first time. And it's that easy. Don't make it complicated. You see, by now they saw the importance of prayer in his personal life because Jesus prayed all the time, everywhere. We know this. Certainly they saw that he had peace. He had peace in times of chaos. And they saw the chaos. They experienced that with him. He had calm when the life storms seemed to just crowd him down. And he had courage. He had courage when he faced impossible odds because he was praying. And patience when they were usually at wit's end. And there were a number of times that that's mentioned too. Strength of character when he was challenged by the authorities to prove who you think you are or say you are. You can't do that. We're Pharisees. We're the powerful. We are the omnipotent. Whatever benefit prayer was, it brought Jesus. They wanted to have that same benefit. They wanted to know that they could have that same, what? Ease of conscience? Of spirit? Now we have this truly wonderful leap from the past to the present in the world of the disciples. Here's where I said it's a royal invitation, because Jesus is giving it, and he tells them to begin their prayer with Abba, which just means Father, or in the American colloquial, Daddy. And we could say Daddy in heaven, which is basically what we're looking at when we take the word down to its basic ingredient. Can you imagine King Daddy? That's not a put down. That's how calming, that's how reasonable, that's how simple Jesus wanted that faith to be for those disciples who were following him in all of those corridors where he was leading them, and they never thought they'd be there at all. We hear them pray no matter where, no matter when. They can pray, King, Daddy, Father, Abba. The replies from God may be instant, but they were assured that the Holy Spirit would work with God to fulfill at least some of their requests. They may not always get the perfect answer. They may not get a yes. They may get a no. And they may get a maybe. Talking to Ted in the hospital on Wednesday, before he knew the foroscope, and we were just chatting. You all know Ted. He said, I'm not afraid of what the end result would be. We're always ready, aren't we? And I said, yep, we're always ready. But I said, we can pray in the meantime to maybe stall it for a little bit. How are you doing in your own prayer life? When I ask Sarah, you know, do you pray? How are you doing in your own prayer life? Do you feel your prayer life is drawing you closer to King Daddy? Abba? Father? If not, you need to know our King has a place for you where you will be comforted. You will be comforted. You will be restored and sometimes even challenged or redirected in your thinking about life and about your life. When you pray, you can trust that God will be listening. You know, when you come down to it and look at this little bit of scripture, the reality is that Jesus made every single one of us part of his royal family. Amen. God our Father, we're grateful for your spirit and your love, for your guidance and your direction. Give us calm, give us peace. In Christ. Amen.